Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time. Time for NBWEN Talk Radio, the premier radio show for the National Business Women Enterprise Network Incorporated, a diverse, innovative, and emerging organization catering to the needs of womenpreneurs across the country. With your host, Shelley Williams. Call in now at 347-945-6683 and engage in fireside chats and interactive live discussions. NBWEN Talk Radio. Now, here's Shelley.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's your hostess, Ms. Shelley Williams, founder and executive director of the National Business Women Enterprise Network. I missed you guys. I'm so sorry that I haven't been on the last couple of weeks. We've been having some technical difficulties, whether it's on the side of Ning or it's on the side of Blog Talk. We've just been not being able to get through, so I'm so excited. I almost thought I was going to do it again today because Ning shut down on us for a little bit. And then when I came into my Blog Talk, I was having problems with the switchboard again. I was like, now, this is not going to happen today because the topic that we have to discuss is about domestic abuse. And I know it's been in the news for a couple weeks, well, actually about a month now since the Chris Brown and Rihanna thing. So it's been brought to the surface again. You know, Oprah's done a show and, you know, several people are talking about it, so on and so forth. So we're going to get into that discussion in a little bit and talk about that. I wanted to give some blessed news. I'm so happy to announce that me and my fiancé are going to tie the knot on April 4th. It was supposed to be April 11th to correspond with his newspaper, but we didn't realize that that was Easter weekend. So being that we were getting married by a pastor, we want to give him a little bit of a break because Easter Sunday is going to be really packed. So we pushed it up to April 4th, and we're ready to do that, and I'm excited and happy and just blessed to be able to share my life with someone, with my best friend. So anyway, just wanted to tell you guys that. And also, I have a new site up. It's called ShelleySpeaks.com, and that's ShelleySpeaks.com, and that's my new speaking site. I got encouraged to start speaking. And so I had to get that site up pretty quick. It's up, it's running, it's ready to go. So if you want to go out there and check it out. But anyway, so we can get into the show because I know it's going to be a long one. Let me be quiet and introduce our special guest for Friday. That is Shelby and British Hill. Yay! Hey. Applause.
Everyone
hey, guys.
Hi, everyone.
I missed you.
We missed you, too.
Absolutely.
And we want to congratulate you and Cedric on your upcoming nuptials. That is just such a blessing and so wonderful. And big hugs and congratulations to you.
Absolutely. Congratulations,
Sally. Thank you.
That is fantastic.
I can see the smile from here.
Uh-huh.
It is a pretty big grin, y'all. He's out there working his little self off. You know, we got some nasty weather up here today, but he's out in the field just working his little self off. And I might get him to call in today, but I'm not sure because he's, you know, today's Friday. He's into sales now. So, you know, he's trying to get those deals and win those deals so we can get that money rolling.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, you guys have anything to announce before we get into the conversation today?
Absolutely. If you want to do the announcements now, I don't have a problem with that. British, do you have anything you want to announce?
I'm really, you know, yeah. As a matter of fact, I think I will. I wasn't expecting, but I'll take advantage of the opportunity.
You know, this is impromptu.
Yeah, it really is impromptu, which I think it makes it even more interesting. So I like that.
Really.
But I really just want to take a second and do an invitation for anyone who might be interested. As most of you know, I know, Shelley, you know, and sometimes some of your regular listeners, that my husband and I are empowerment coaches, and I am an empowerment coach specifically for women. And I am in alignment with an amazing company that's called Compass Coaching Network, where it's all about, you know, helping all women have access to coaching and at an affordable price. That's what makes it so unique. And We can't do it ourselves, though. So what we are doing, those of us that are leaders within the company, are getting behind the CEO and founder of Compass. Her name is Kim Fulcher. And we're supporting her in introducing other people that might be interested in helping us share coaching with other women around the country. And so we're having a big first-time-ever live webcast event next Wednesday, March 18th. At 9 p.m. Eastern, where we're going to be introducing the Compass Coaching Independent Representative Opportunity, where you'll be learning about the company, our culture, our mission, and also how you can create another stream of income for yourself if you're interested in joining us as an independent representative. So that's going to be happening on March 18th at 9 p.m. Eastern via your computer. And if you'd like to register or learn more, you can go to my Compass website, which is actually mylifecompass.com/British. And on that main page in the lower left-hand corner, there'll be a banner that says Join Us Live. You can register for free and learn all about it.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And, and actually, I'm a part of Compass as well. So we, British and I, are partners in that as well. It's a great opportunity. And, of course, it is about supporting the empowerment of women. So I encourage everyone to go to British's website. I will post something on the website, Shelley, on the social site.
Okay.
You can, so people will have an opportunity to get more information about it.
Wonderful.
And real quick, my quick announcement is getgoodrelationships.com is my social network, and we are putting together a relationship book project, which is an unofficial title of the actual book, but we're seeking for women, specifically women, to submit their story, a relationship story that they've had maybe in the past or are currently in, just a story that that they love to share with other readers of the book. And it's basically a 500 to 800-word essay that you have to submit. You can submit it as an anonymous submittal. Your story will be it will be published along with your name. I encourage everyone, if there's names you want to include in the story, please make them fictional, because we don't want to expose anybody. everyone will get printed. I mean, there's going to be a certain amount of people that a certain amount of stories that will actually get printed in full. But everyone who submits their essay or their story, it will get printed, and at least it will be your name and the title of your story. So we're encouraging everyone to participate. So far, the response has been pretty incredible. So
if
you want to email me your story, your relationship story, it could be good, it could be educational, heartbreaking, erotic, platonic, loving, whatever type of story from every spectrum of relationships, we want to hear it. Email me at getgoodrelationships@gmail.com. And this is due. We're giving a deadline to March 31st. March 31st, but it's looking like we might have to extend it. But March 31st is the deadline. GetGoodRelationships@gmail.com. That's what
good deal. I'm excited, guys, about everything that you're doing. And, of course, you have my full support.
Absolutely.
And encouragement always.
Absolutely.
I don't know how you guys want to start with this. It looks like we actually have a caller on the phone already. So
okay.
I don't know if you want to take a question or if you want to kind of do a spiel first, or you let me know.
Well, what do you think, British?
Well, it probably would be good for us to just sort of open up and kind of set the stage and frame everything, and then from there, bring the caller in and roll on out.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right. Sounds good to me.
So I'm thinking along the lines of, I know everyone's talking about the Chris Brown and Rihanna situation. And that's been, that's going to be in the news for a minute.
Yeah.
But, so we are, everyone's kind of getting the particulars on that. But we want to talk about domestic violence on a broader scale, and that's how it's affecting women and men across the country, like how this is, a real problem in America.
It really is.
So, that's really the purpose of this call. We know that there's a lot of women who have experienced domestic violence in some way, shape, or form. In fact, I have some statistics here, and it says roughly about 12 million women will be abused in their lifetime. And that's roughly about 25% of the female population, so that's huge.
Wow.
That's
a huge and alarming statistic.
And
I'm concerned about is how many young people, how many young women think that it's okay. And I will testify, when you brought up the issue, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I got kind of scared because it's kind of touchy. But, you know, when you're young and you don't really know what love is, you think that it's okay. And you think that, you know, when you get a little bit older, you know, as we grow up, oh, he's going to change, he's going to get better. It doesn't necessarily get better. And I can say that, you know, for the person that I was involved with, that, you know, that I was abused by, he's not that way with the new person that he's with. You know, so there is an opportunity for them to change, or, you know, it just, we were just not compatible. I was egging him on, he was egging me on, and we were just going at it, you know. But I just think that I met him when I was 18, and I was with him until I was 28. So that's a whole long, you know, I was afraid, I had kids, and, you know, some people don't have those, but I had kids, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to take it because, you know, I want to make sure the kids have, you know, him around. And that's not the right attitude. And we, you know, as women, as young women, that's sometimes our mentality is, you know, we'll just take it because of whatever reason.
No, I agree with you there. I mean, and that's, it is a touchy subject, and it is a sad statistic. You know, myself too, Shelley, I've had experience with domestic violence in my life, you know, many years before I met my husband, Shelby. But, you know, I too was a very young woman, you know, through my 20s, and I was with that man for, you know, from probably around the age of 24, 25 years old up until, you know, a little over 30, about 31,
mm-hmm.
matter of fact. And so, you know, and it really begs the question of, you know, why do you stay? You know, why?
Right.
And it I can remember feeling, you know, having emotions probably very much like yourself, because I, too, had a son, whom I had split from his father. And so here I was already a young mother, single mother,
mm-hmm.
and I'd gotten involved with this man who kind of came in and, you know, thought he was what it looked like to me was that he was going to take on the role of father to my son. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, in fact, his time in my life was not good for my son. You know what I mean? It was, quite frankly,
right.
the very opposite for him, and that
mm-hmm.
exposed him at a young age to, you know, just his mother not experiencing healthy love. And but for me, you know, I do remember having those battles within myself and saying, you know, well, I don't want to be, you know, by myself again with my
right.
child kind of thing, and, you know, what's the right thing to do here? And I believe I put some weight on that, but that I was so misguided. And I think another reason, too, especially, you know, in our community, in African-American community, it is such a sad cycle, because I think that many young women, not all, but many, way too many, don't have the role models. We
That's
don't
right.
know what healthy love looks like oftentimes. All around us, our mothers, our sisters, our aunts. I didn't have it anywhere. I didn't have not one woman in my life that was an example of what healthy and whole, full, real love looks like. So I had to learn
mm-hmm.
the hard way.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Both of you, if I could just jump in for a second, both of you, you know, have shared some real, you know, obviously some real stories, some real situations, and, you know, that you know, provide some real feelings, you know, and that's, both of you actually experiencing domestic violence, and British, to your point, not having anyone around to really show you what a real relationship was about, and you know, you guys make the point of, why do you stay? And what I'm going to add is, as a child, as a young man, as a young boy, I witnessed domestic violence in my household between my mother and my father. And, you know, my father, you know, God rest his soul, who's no longer with us, but, you know, it was the question, even as a young boy, asking my mom, why did she stay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying, and actually my sister and I would, you know, cry and beg my mom to leave at one point. So it is interesting how it is a habitual cycle, especially in the Black community, and
mm-hmm.
how witnessing, as a young boy, how witnessing my father abuse my mother, he never abused us in that way, but, you know, that could have potentially, you know, changed my psyche and made me
uh-huh.
an abusive man, but it totally
That's
did
true.
The opposite in my case. It totally did the opposite. because, of course,
well, it's just like what you know, they're saying, and people get upset when people use their past as an excuse.
Right.
But some, you know, you know that your parents are your first teachers. And
right.
So if you're there and you're witnessing that, and yes, you know it's wrong. When you get out into the real world, you know that it's wrong, but that's a habit that you've seen, and you do have to get help for it. Just like, you know, I felt so bad, you know, and people are probably not going to like what I say, but I felt bad for Chris Brown when all this stuff went down. Yes, he did what he did. It was wrong. It was definitely wrong for what he did, but I felt bad for him because my son is nearly the same age. I have two sons that are close to his age, and I could see them. I've taught them well. I've told them, no, you never hit a woman. I don't care what she does. You walk away. But they've witnessed it.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's in their psyche already, and they have to make a valiant effort, more so of an effort, I think, than other people who may not have witnessed that, to keep that anger in control and under control, excuse me, because they witnessed it. And I remember when I got divorced and when my son was old enough to tell me, he said, Mom, I'm so glad that you left. I don't know what I would have done to him had you not left,
mm-hmm.
because he watched it,
right.
you know. And so when this stuff came up with Chris Brown and Rihanna, I felt so bad for him. I felt bad for her too, but I felt bad for him because the thing to do is to really come down extremely hard on the male that's committing the abuse, and if he's had the past that he's had, there's no kind of a sympathy, and no one's reaching out to him and saying, everybody's criticizing him. No one's reaching out to him and saying, hey, man, you know, this is what happened to you in the past. You know, what you did was wrong. Let me get Christian on you. We've all sinned, every last one of us,
mm-hmm.
and we've only been saved by grace. And so he deserves just as much grace as anybody else. He deserves for someone to reach back and take his hand and show him what true love is, and show him that it's not being abusive to someone. It's not, you know, if he really loves this girl, he does need to seriously consider getting help, not just saying it, but doing it. And that's what happens with a lot of the offenders. They don't, they say they're going to get the help, but they don't. And
right.
the woman takes them back, and they just keep going in the same cycle because they haven't gotten the help that they need. They haven't been able to release the anger that they have within them in order to get past taking their anger out on someone else.
So you're saying it's a true rehabilitating process that
mm-hmm.
has to take place.
I believe so, and I believe that he can, you know, and I was reading up on it, and I remember seeing someone's comment that said that he can be rehabilitated, but not with her. Unfortunately, she may still trigger some of that anger, even though they love each other.
Right.
But I don't know that he can be rehabilitated while he's still in the relationship with her. He
right.
has to go and fix himself. And I think we almost got on this topic today about fixing ourselves before we get into a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, I yeah, wow, this is good because I first of all, I can totally connect and understand where you're coming from as far as, you know, understanding that what he did was absolutely wrong, and it's
mm-hmm.
that's a whole, it's just wow, you know, what makes any man, you know, let alone a 19-year-old boy, you know, because I too, my son is 20, almost 21 years old, and I know he's
mm-hmm.
still a kid in every single way.
Exactly.
Even though he's a man on paper. And so, you know, to make them snap, but to your point, you know, that this is an indicator that there's some help. I mean, there's some help needed greatly. But, you know, one of my concerns is no doubt he needs to get some help, and no doubt there's room for rehabilitation, especially of his age. And we need to recognize that there's some things broken in him. But my concern is he getting that kind of advice?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. See, here's where I get kind of all tied up with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I know we don't know who's telling him what, but there's
right.
a part of me that gets really angry about this Rihanna Chris thing when you're talking about Chris, is that there's a piece of me that wonders if he is being enabled.
Right.
If he
yeah.
is not being held accountable. if he's got, right. you know, brothers or men or whoever, people around him, maybe not all, but some that are, oh, man, you know, like for example, getting him and Rihanna together in a house so they can work it out and talk about
what
it, so
you're
that's
saying.
They business. Right. I'm like, that's they business. First of all, they 19 and 21 years old.
Right.
35, 40-year-old people together so they can work it out.
Right. You're talking about the kids that need you all up in their business.
Okay.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's like, come on. Now, let's go about the business. And Shelby said something yesterday. Babe, what was it? You said about with Chris. It's like, you said do him a favor. Sit him down and say, man, let's talk about trying to do what we need to do with you, instead of trying to put him back with her. So that nobody learns a lesson, then the next day he's jet skiing like nothing ever happened.
Right.
Exactly.
That's what gets me pumped up.
I know, girl. You are so right on that point right there. I said the same thing. I said, now what in the world is going on? And I think that's what I was trying to get to was the fact that people are not. I don't know. We don't know what's going on in the background, but from what we can see. It looks like it's just being kind of, you know, wiped over. And I think that's probably why Rihanna's dad is probably so upset, because people are keeping him away from his daughter so he can talk to her, you know, and he is livid. He's livid. I don't know what. I'll be on the first plane up there. You know, you're not going to keep me from my daughter. If somebody was doing that with her, you're not going to keep me. And if that was my son, same thing. Where's his mom? Where's his, you know, where's somebody? Grandma, aunt, uncle, somebody.
Where's my mother? And then not only that, but I'm a little bit, you know, twisted even with Rihanna's dad. All I can go by is what he's saying publicly. I mean, these are just statements that people, Diddy said his thing publicly. Her father, one minute in the beginning when it first happened, it was this outreach and pour, you know, this outpouring of, you know, hopefully I don't want to misquote him, but stuff along the lines of, you know, hopefully she won't get back, blah, 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 I love my daughter. And then now he's publicly being quoted as saying, well, you know, whatever her decision is, I'm a supporter either way.
Boy.
And I
mean. He must have gave him some money.
Girl, shut up. I said the same thing.
Ain't no way. Ain't no way.
I said the same thing to Shelby. I said, well, she might be paying everybody's bills in that family. They're not going to say nothing to make her upset.
Okay, so ladies, hold on one second. We knew this.
Oh yeah, you got to be the voice of reason. Cut us off.
We knew this would be a very passionate topic, and I know that it's inevitable that we would talk about the Chris Brown and Rihanna situation.
Of course.
But we really want to try to keep it on a broad sense, and
we're
talking about how it's impacting women across the country.
Right.
I mean, like I said, you guys have had experiences, you know, I've had experiences as a child of witnessing it. So, you know, I think the goal, the objective here is to really try to, you know, give some people advice and give them some options, you know, support in some way, shape, or form so that
you're
they
right.
can either get help or so that they can know how to avoid, you know, situations where domestic violence may at one point erupt.
Right.
So.
Well, first thing I would say is that it's not okay on either end. It's not okay for a woman to hit a man and think that just because if he hits her, he's going to jail. It's not okay.
Sure.
That's number one. Number two, it's not okay for, because my understanding, and I know I said we wasn't going to get on the Chris Brown thing, but my understanding was she hit him with the heel of his shoe. You know, and you know, but anyway.
It's never justifiable for anybody to hit.
It's never justifiable. That's
unless you absolutely feel like, you know, your life is in jeopardy. You know,
like when what's that movie with Ike and Tina?
Yeah.
It was in the limousine. Now that I was on the edge of my seat. Get him, girl.
absolutely. I mean, you know, if a woman can fight back, if a man is going to put his hands on you, by all means, fight back. You know, nobody is anything in the book that says you have to take that.
Well,
right.
If she did him and hit him with the shoe, okay, and now that's, you know, not right, wrong. No, every woman knows it was probably heated and she was going off too, so I'm sure she was. But you know what? At the end of the day, most men can beat a woman. Keep on, hold me down if I'm acting.
Yep.
You know,
right,
exactly.
Right.
So don't think that you can fight a man, because you can't. I don't care if you're bigger than him or not. You don't need to be putting your hands on him.
And the man needs to understand that, you know what, I get it. Let's walk away or pin me down if I'm losing it.
Run.
Don't start punching me like a man, because you're going to be.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Run, Forrest, run.
I'm not going to win against you. You're going to beat me.
Absolutely.
That kills me. Yeah.
Shelly, I'm curious to know if your caller is still on.
Yeah, you know what? I'm sorry. Hey, caller 951, let me get you on this call right here. Hello? Area code 951, are you there? Hello? They might just be listening.
Yeah, that's
okay.
True, too.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
They might just be listening in. It'd be good if they got in on the call. But anyway, I was looking at the chat room to see if anybody was chatting with us either, but there's no chatting going on. And that Ning thing just messed us up.
Yeah,
we're trying to get the word out, and Ning was shut down for maintenance. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Here's an interesting not an interesting fact, but here's a fact to support – you know, just some information as it applies to the African American community, and this is courtesy of one of these. Oh, it's courtesy of the National Library of Medicine and Health Institute.
Mm-hmm.
It says black women and men suffer from the highest rates of domestic violence. Black females experience domestic violence at a rate of 35% higher than that of white females, and about 22 times the rate of other races. So black males experience domestic violence at a rate of about 62% higher than that of white males, and about 22 times the rate of other men of other races.
Wow.
So the black community, of course, we always rate high in the things that aren't the best for you.
Right.
Unfortunately, but yeah, so it's really prevalent in our community. And
what do you think of some of the factors?
Why? Could it be because of that perpetual cycle of kids witnessing it as from their parents, and then it kind of being embedded in their mind, and just what they see for examples, and the girls grow up seeing that's how my mom took it, and my aunt took it this way, and so she grows up thinking that that's what a relationship looks like, and then men, little boys growing up to be men, thinking that that's the best way to control and manage your marriage or your relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't say that it's poverty anymore because, look at some of the people that are doing it now. The people that, the high profile cases that are coming up are people that have money.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you could say that it's poverty anymore. It has to be something that's ingrown or something that, like we said before, that they've witnessed before, and it's just that ongoing cycle, and no one's gotten any help, and so it just continues on until someone breaks the cycle.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
By getting that help that they need and getting the rehabilitation that they need.
And speaking of the whole cycle thing, because I've been, just – listening to the news shows lately with this, I'll tell you one thing, and this might sound crazy, but with Rihanna and Chris, it being so in the news and on everybody's lips, one thing is it's got us all listening and talking about domestic abuse,
mm-hmm,
which is good because
mm-hmm.
It's out in the open. There's a whole lot more situations of domestic abuse beyond Chris and Rihanna, so this is probably good for the country to be discussing this to reveal the ugliness. But talking about the cycle, and I think that's a big piece of it too. It's almost like any woman who has ever had an abusive relationship in her life, whether it be for a few months, a year, or many, many years, or far, maybe it's not a case of her of you being abused, every time you turn around. I mean, even when I had my experience, it wasn't like I was with somebody that anytime I might look one way, he was popping me in my mouth or something. It wasn't, like a day to day or month to month or even year to year. It was, but when I look back on it, it was a clear cut cycle between the times in which it did occur. And it's like textbook. When you start kind of studying it and seeing what goes on. And one of the things I think, I can't remember, a few people who've been in the news lately have been talking about it, is that oftentimes the woman, first of all, she really wants this thing to work.
Right.
She's in love.
Hello?
Are you guys still there? I heard something.
Oh.
Are we there?
Yeah.
Shelby?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I don't know what I heard of. But anyway, so she wants it to work, and she's in love, and she, usually has some false perceptions of why she needs to stay, you know, because she has kids, because she's afraid she won't have enough money, because it's all this fear stuff that's keeping her there.
And self-esteem issues.
Self-esteem issues. And on top of that, you know, she's got this thing called love, which she thinks that, you know, it is healthy, it is love.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so when you have that kind of mixture, there's this desire for it to work. So then the tension builds up, whatever the argument occurs, and then, bam, the incident happens. It is like clockwork in many cases where right after the tension and then the trigger and then the abuse occurs, there's that period of calm that follows.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If you hear it called that honeymoon phase. And that's when the women oftentimes get sucked right on up in there because, see, that little honeymoon period is all she's been living for anyway in the relationship. All she wants him to do is say, baby, you know I love you so much. Or, baby, where are you? Let's get together. Baby, can we go have dinner? Baby, I'm so sorry. Like, this is what she wants anyway in the relationship. So this is that period when that's all she is getting from the man. So it feels good to her, and she thinks, okay, well, this is really, we're good because he's loving me the way I want to be loved.
Right.
Especially after that first time.
Yeah, and that's what happens. That's what people are saying, that, you know, maybe Rihanna's going through, that Chris has been relentless in his apologies and I love you and crying and all this and all that, and she's like, okay, you know, because that's what we do as women in these relationships. We get sucked up, but inevitably it happened. The calm calms down. You know, it turns back into sort of the normalcy again.
Right.
More little small incidents start to occur. Tensions increase again, and the cycle starts all over again.
And you know what? To add on to that, British, oftentimes, and this is just confusing to me. Oftentimes, after a domestic situation like such as, you know, the one that's in the Chris and Rihanna, it's the woman always blames herself some way, somehow, in some way, shape, or form. She blames herself. I saw my mother do it. You know, I've seen other women in those situations do it. Somehow, some way, she ends up, after review, after everything calms down, and then she settles down and feeling absolutely well within her right in the beginning, you know, when you're arguing and when you're stating your case and the both of you are, you know, she's being aggressive and, you know, her feelings are hurt and all these different things. But then once it becomes physical, all of a sudden, and once that, you know, after the physical aspect, and then it calms down, and then it's like she blames herself. And I just don't understand. What is that about?
The thing is, what she's saying to herself is, well, if I hadn't said such and such, or if I hadn't done such and such, I wouldn't have got him so angry that he had to haul off and hit me. But again, like we said just a minute ago, it's not justifiable on any end, either end.
It's not.
I don't care what somebody says to you. I don't care what they do to you that's not physical. You have no right to put your hands on another person. You have to, as much as you can, try to walk away, especially men.
Right,
especially men, because you already know you're the stronger person in the relationship anyway. Physically, you are stronger.
Yeah.
And so a woman is going to keep on sometimes, and God forgive me, I'm a woman, but sometimes we can irk your nerves.
Right.
And
absolutely.
So just because we irk your nerves does not mean that you got the right to put your hand on them.
Absolutely, because the responsibility lies on the man. It lies in the individual for both people.
Yes. It's called self-control.
And it kills me when people say, well, you made me, or he made me, or she made
exactly.
me.
Exactly. Oh, the devil made me do it.
Well, right, exactly, which is, again, it's hard, babe, I'm sorry, it's hard not to reference back to them because that, you know, but, you know, which is hard, I mean, which is, you know, why it makes me crazy when, you know, Diddy and a few other people have said things like, well, you know, we don't know what happened in that car. You know, we don't know who said what and what caused it to turn into what it did.
It
well, one thing
matter.
I do know, unless they kept it out the police report, is she didn't have no gun, she didn't have no knife. She didn't have, you know what I mean? One thing I do know is that the picture showed her face all beat up like it was black and blue. Okay, so that much I do know.
Right.
And for that, I can't see it being any, and the police report said her head was being repeatedly, you know, slammed up against the glass window and he tried to get out the car at one moment. I know that, and to me, it doesn't seem like there should have really been any reason for her to get beat up and beat down like a man on
that bad. Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
I just, that much I do know. I don't get it. I don't see it, but it's been, I've been hearing people say things like, well, we don't know, you know, we don't know what happened.
She shouldn't have been looking in his phone. She shouldn't have been doing this. She shouldn't have been doing that. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Are you joking?
I was like, are you serious? Come on. Regardless, there is no justification for what happened. There's no justification for him to have put his hands on her.
No question about it.
Anybody for any reason, there's no justification. I remember watching the movie, What's Love Got to Do with It, and cringing. I mean, literally cringing because she'd just be there and she'd say something she didn't like. And girl, don't let me get back to The Color Purple. I mean, if gonna bring out some shows of what's going on, because that movie, The Color Purple, was that is reality.
Yeah,
it
was
a fictitious movie, but that was real.
Yeah.
That she said, "Ooh, it's hurting her," and he hauled up and knocked the mess out of her. I was like, wow. I cringe at all those movies that show that stuff because there's always, and girl, don't talk about the burning bed.
Oh, yeah, that's another one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Shelly, you are so right. In all those cases, and then in real-life cases, you know, it really is where the woman, a lot of times, it's just you start, after it happens, you feel terrible, you hurt, you embarrassed if friends or family or somebody found out, and then you start thinking, you know, he's not always like this.
Right.
He really loves me. I know he loves me. I love him. We just got out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
No. It's
not
going
to happen again.
Yeah.
If I don't do this, if I can just control myself and my actions, he won't get to that point again. That's what happens is we start to blame ourselves.
Very true. That's very true. Mm-hmm. But you know what's interesting about that part? The more she tries to control herself, and the more she tries to curb, you know, and tailor herself to meet his needs, it's almost inevitable that he still will find some way to
find a reason.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you have
and we make excuses for him.
Yeah.
Yep.
When he's not getting that help, like what Shelly was saying, you know, when it becomes just it happened and then nobody's going to get help, nothing's being changed, then it is inevitable.
It's inevitable.
Yeah.
So, if I can, ladies, I wanted to share some warning signs of an abusive partner. That's, you know, for us and, of course, for we won't ever have to worry about that because we're all, you know, married and about to be married. So, but for those
and I wish he would. No. No.
Yeah, I think we know better by now. I've been with you long enough now.
For those out there who are dating or haven't found their mate, you know, these are the warning signs that you can look out for. And these are courtesy of lookingformysister.org. Lookingformysister.org. It's about 10 of them, so I'm going to breeze through them pretty quickly. The first sign would be when your partner checks up on the other, one partner checks up on the other a lot. You know, like listening in on phone calls, constantly asking where you are, your whereabouts, calling a person at work all day, you know, checking the mileage for the car, things like that. Mm-hmm. That's a sign that, you know, you have potential, you know, some potential abuse going on there. When one partner puts the other partner down a lot, you know, name-calling, constant criticism, public or private humiliation, you know, just really making the other person feel like they're crazy for feeling the way they feel. That's a sign. Partner tries to control the other. One partner tries to control the other partner, you know, by telling the other person not to see certain people, not to have certain friends, or they can't go certain places. Number four is one partner acts jealous or possessive and says that, you know, it's because I love you. It's signs of love, and that's why they act the way they act. Number five is one partner destroys or threatens to destroy the other's belongings. You know, when you going in there, you threatening to kick his big screen TV, or he's threatening to, you know, I don't know, throw out the your hair dryer or something. You know. But that's a sign. And these are all, man, these are all just real. These are all real. When one partner, I think this is number six, when one partner threatens to hurt the other or their friends or family members, that's a sign. One partner touches the other in a way or in ways that hurts or scares the other partner. Okay, so One partner makes the other have sex in ways or at times that are very uncomfortable. That in itself is abuse. You know, let alone a sign. That in itself is abuse. Number eight is one partner blames the other one, and everybody else for everything. So there's no sense of taking responsibility for their actions. So that partner is always placing blame on others.
Mm-hmm.
Number nine, let's see. Oh, the last one is one partner says that the concerns of the other about the relationship aren't really that important. So when you have concerns about your relationship and you try to bring those concerns to your partner, you know, it's basically saying that if your partner doesn't really take interest or, you know, see the value in your concerns, then potentially those are some signs of abuse, potential abuse to come.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And doesn't all this sound familiar?
In some way,
shape, or form, either through yourself or through a friend?
Yeah.
As I was reading that list, I was like, man.
Yeah,
I've dated some girls like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
And then let's also remember, too, I mean, there's more than just, you know, there are different types of abuse, too.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You know, for
right.
our listeners out there that, you know, just because he's maybe or she, because it can go both ways, but let's just be real. I mean, mostly it's the male against the female in most
mm-hmm.
cases of, you know, reported abuse. But physical abuse is clear what that is, but let's not forget, I mean, there's sexual abuse, there's, you know, the emotional abuse, you know, threats. So there's a lot of different kinds of abuse. So do please recognize and, you know, that if he may not be hitting you, but if there's, you know, repetitive criticism, excessive criticism, humiliation, degradation, all that kind of stuff.
Verbal
putting you
abuse.
Down,
Absolutely.
Calling your name.
Yeah.
I mean, that's abuse. Very true abuse.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, you know what else, and we haven't really touched on it. I know you said, British, that most of the abuse physically is on women, men to women. But there's also a flip side to it. There are also women that abuse men. And because it's such a small number, men are afraid to come forward because they are afraid of their manliness being tested or their macho or their ego or whatever, but it does happen. I've had friends that told me, you know, hey man, you know, she's abusing me, you know, and because I'm a man, I don't put my hands on her, but she's abusive, you know, and physically abusive. I mean, throwing things, hitting them with stuff. You know, I remember my grandmother told me if a man ever put his hands on me to just hit him with a cast iron skillet. She bought me a cast iron skillet set.
Right.
But for someone to just haul off and hit somebody with something just because they have it, you know, that happens too. And you know, for guys, you do have to, you know, if you see those warning signs and you see that, you know, you should also be cautious and don't be afraid to let somebody know. Just because you're a man, you have the right for someone not to be physical with you as well.
Can I just tap on that? That's so wow, because I was reading something that was saying, of course, that abuse is many different forms of abuse, and it can go both ways. Primarily physical is entails the man being physically abused to the woman, but this particular information talked about how there are other types of abuse that tend to be prevalent for women against men. And
mm-hmm.
A couple of those kinds of abuse outside of the small reported cases of physical, but what is greatly used as a weapon, if you will, from women to men, and it's considered abuse, is sexual. I'm just gonna put this out here.
Girl, I knew you was gonna say it.
Yeah, and it's defined as, you know, assault for refusal to engage in sexual activities, and that's men usually in that direction. But here's what they were saying, in the form of threats, economic, and destruction of property. These are all considered abuse.
Wow.
And threats oftentimes are thrown from the direction of women to men in the form of threats that affect child custody, legal,
Ooh, yes.
sponsorship status, economic. where it says men oftentimes may be that way with controlling finances, but women abuse to men are in the form of stealing money. That is considered abuse. Destruction of property, destruction of his personal property or personal items is also considered abuse. So there's different, and the reason why all this stuff falls under abuse is because it says abuse is a pattern of behavior in which physical violence and or emotional coercion or is or are used to gain and maintain power or control in a relationship. Okay. Mm. And that's really when you talk about abuse, because the physical abuse is, thus is it, yeah, it hurts,
right.
It's painful, and it's, you know, but the, what's really going on is it's an act of power, it's an act to gain power or maintain power or control. That's why it's done. And so that's why it said it can include threats, the destruction of property, you know, stalking, harassing behavior. All that's about a person trying to get or maintain power or control in that relationship. So it's defined as abuse.
Wow. That's interesting.
Isn't that?
It is very interesting because, you know, I mean, and it's real.
Yeah.
It's real. I could see that. I could see that. And wow.
Mm.
Wow.
And you hear a lot
yeah, because, you know,
that.
Emotional.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, British.
No, I was about to say the same thing, I think. Go ahead.
But your emotions, I mean, in stressing someone out, I mean, stress is the number, well, I don't want to say the number one killer, but, I mean, it causes heart attacks and, you know, all kinds of ulcers, all kinds of stuff. So, you know, emotional abuse, verbal abuse can be just as bad as physical because it's gonna affect you physically, you know, after a while.
That's true.
Yeah,
it's
no question about it. And you guys touched on, you know, stress being a primary reason for abuse in relationships. And a lot of the top reasons for domestic violence, no one really can give a definite of
right.
You know, why people abuse other people in their relationships. But what's very, very common, the top common reasons are, you know, financial purposes, there's economic stress in the household.
Mm-hmm.
You know, typically one partner is a spender and one partner is a saver. And when money gets tight, you know, conflict arises. Especially in the, you know, economy like this one, you know, stress obviously increases and it absolutely erupts. Alcohol.
Yeah, and then you got those people that go out and go on shooting sprees. I mean,
yeah.
I just was reading that story about the guy in Alabama.
Oh,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. People just, you know, they can't take it.
Other
reasons are alcohol or drug abuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, infidelity. And
definitely.
One that really, really surprised me was infertility is leading causes of abuse.
Now, does it go deeper into that?
No, it doesn't. It didn't really go deeper into it. It was just, I was like, wow, infertility. So, you know, obviously, the frustration or the emotion behind not being able to produce a child.
Mm.
Wow.
I guess
I would never guess that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have either, but I suppose if that's considered a trigger, maybe, you know. Yeah.
Wow.
In some cases. Oh, wow.
Would you guys please post that information on the site? And so when I refer to the radio show, they can, you know, they can go back, because people are going to, of course, listen to, they may not be listening now, but I get a lot of people that listen after hours.
Yeah.
And
right.
So they may want to refer to some of the articles that you've discussed here. So if you don't mind posting that to the site so people can go and get it.
Absolutely.
I would really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Shelley.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's a lot of good information out there, you know, for people to utilize. I mean, there's a ton of resources out there, especially when you want to talk about breaking the cycle and being rehabilitated. There's definitely some options out there. Now, for people who are being abused or who are in tough situations, Shelley, if you don't mind, I'm going to share some numbers for people to call, some hotlines.
Please do.
One is the Domestic Abuse for Men and Women Hotline. And they have a website, and it's www.dasandavid, A as in Apple, H, M as in Married, W as in women, .org. So it's DAHMW.org, the Domestic Abuse for Men and Women Hotline. And their number is 888-743-5754. And the other number I'll share with you, didn't have a website, but I'm sure you can Google it. It's National Domestic Violence Hotline. And their number is 1-800-799-SAFE. And that's 1-800-799-7233. So if anyone out there that's listening or you know someone that's in a domestic abusive situation, you know, and you want to see that they get help, or if you're someone that's in a domestic situation, domestic abusive situation, please, please utilize those numbers and, you know, get help. They provide shelters, counseling. You know, I mean, it's literally like they swoop in and they help take care of the situation. So just wanted to share that.
That is great.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. That is wonderful that you have that, and make sure you post that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because we want to be about what we talk about. If we say that we want people to get help, we need to be able to make those resources available. You know, not just talk about it and say, you know, oh, you should do this. And that's what I think is happening, is that people a lot of times will say, well, you should go and get counseling. But then you don't direct people to where they're supposed to go.
Right.
You know, and a lot of people aren't computer savvy. They may not be computer savvy and can go out on the Internet. They need a real live phone number to call in case of emergency.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah, it is. It's you know, it's such a strong topic, and especially for the African-American community, you know, and I think that cycle really, really runs deep within us. And it's trying to figure out where the starting point is, you know, how do you break it?
Yeah, definitely. Whew, man. Well, Shelby, I told you it was going to be a touchy subject.
Absolutely.
And we have almost depleted the whole hour, and I don't even think we've broken the surface, but there's so much more.
There is. Now, I am curious to know, though, because I know that there was a lot of passion and emotion around the Chris Brown Rihanna topic. So, I mean, as grown women, I mean, experienced women in relationships, I mean, what would you guys, if you had if you had an opportunity to share some wisdom with Chris or Rihanna, or if you could sit both of them down in front of you, what would you say?
I would say, I mean, I think I would pretty much say what I've been saying on the show so far, is that they both need to get some help. Rihanna needs to talk to someone to find out why she's allowing him to do that, why she's being the enabler. Because she is an enabler by allowing him to come back and do it over. Because she said this is not the first time. So he's done it before. He keeps doing it. Yeah, you love him, or you think you love him. You think that it's love. So she needs to get some counseling to figure out what that is, why she feels like she's okay with allowing him to do that to her. And then for him, same thing. He needs to go get some help. He needs to deal with his past. He needs to deal with having seen his mom beat down and why he feels that it's okay, regardless of the situation, for him to put his hands on Rihanna and in such force, the way that, I mean, it wasn't just one blow. It was like he probably came outside of himself and just was gone, you know. And I've seen my son. That's why I said it's something from the past. I've seen my son, and it's taken me a moment to get him calmed down, where he's gotten into it with someone because he's so angry, and I'm like, but baby, just come back to earth, you know. So he needs to get some help.
Yeah,
they both do.
I would say the same thing that Shelley just said. That, I mean, I would truly sit them down and, you know, let's talk about getting you some help, you know. But first, you know, let's talk about what happened here,
what transpired.
The last thing I would, you know, what triggered it, not to justify or try to, you know, but really to get them individually to look at what occurred and, you know, try to break it internally so that neither one of them will put it, you know, put themselves in this situation again. Because, I mean, let's just face it, they are 19 and 21.
Right.
They are very young. And so, you know, the odds were against them staying together for the rest of their life and her being the woman that he was going to marry and she didn't want, you know what I mean? And chances are this thing was not. And I'm not saying it won't. There's always a possibility. But I'm just saying the odds that this is the only last man she's going to be with for the rest of her life. So my whole mission would really be to get her to look at herself as a woman, find out, you know, what went down to allow this to occur, what, how did she contribute, and then what can be done so that she can prevent this stuff happening to her in the past and in the future, and the same with him, because they got a lot more relationships to experience probably.
Mm-hmm.
They got a lot more, several other people I'm sure that they're going to believe they're in love with before, you know, it's all said and done. So we need to break this cycle now. So she and he will not be some 30 and 40-something finding themselves being in abusive relationships and calling in love.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah,
we don't want Chris to be an Ike Turner.
Thank you.
You know, up in age and still being abusive. We don't want to see that.
That's right. And we also, you know, as much as people and few celebrities have said, well, you know, they're individuals and human beings just like the rest of us. You know, they can't be, you know, responsible for every little young woman and man. And you know what? Maybe that's true on a logical level, but the truth is that they are role models. And there are young men and women that look up to them and think and girls that want to be like Rihanna. It's just how it is. That comes with their celebrity.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
I think it is some responsibility there. It's kind of like, you know, really, what she by going back, you know, so soon, a lot of this, or at all, but definitely even so soon, it does send some messages.
Definitely.
Yes,
you know,
it sends the wrong message.
And I'm going to just say this because I know we're going to wrap this up, but I'm going to reference this in this month's or this week's People magazine, the March 16th, 2009 People, that made some really good points. And it just said, you know, sympathy for Rihanna among fans and within the music industry was strong after the incident, but the reunion has led to something of a backlash. And the person says the tide has definitely turned against her since she's gotten back with him, says an insider. Some fans lashed out on blogs. You know, she's supposed to be a strong woman. What's going on? But it's not yet clear if it will create a long-term problem for her. Now, check this out. As for Brown, in a Billboard.com poll published just May 2nd, 49% of voters said that they listened to his music as much or as little as they did before the fight, and 6% listened to it more. Getting back together helps Chris but hurts Rihanna.
Wow.
If Rihanna, who is a spokesmodel for CoverGirl, had chosen to speak out against domestic violence, she would have been in a position to become a role model, even a Tina Turner of her generation. Now she has to explain herself, and that's going to be very hard to do.
Wow.
But you know what? You know what a good person to talk to Rihanna would be? Tina Turner.
Yeah.
Because look at what Tina Turner went through. Tina went back. Tina went back several times. And you know, she could sit down, and again, when you go through things, and this is what I tell everybody, when you go through things, you can be a testimony to someone else because you've been there, you've done that. I talk to teen parents because I've been there. I was a teen mom. I can talk to single moms because I've been a single mom. Tina Turner could go and talk to Rihanna and say, look, you know, he keeps saying he's going to get some help. Let him go do it before you go back.
Right.
Make sure that he gets it done before you go back, because look at what I had to go through.
Absolutely. So you both would encourage them to, neither one of you, from what I'm understanding, neither one of you would encourage them at this point to stay together. You would encourage them to kind of to go their separate ways and kind of work on themselves.
Yes, it's toxic. This might not be a coach approach, but the truth is to me, it's pretty toxic right now. There's some toxicity up in there that I just don't know. They can get, like Shelley said at the beginning, you know, and I don't know if this was her sentiments or someone else, but, you know, he can get help and he can change and things can get better for him, but it's real unlikely it's going to happen when he stays
with her. I agree.
Okay,
toxic
at
this point. Yeah. So, hey guys, unfortunately the show is about to end in like a couple of seconds. We got one minute remaining. So, but I think we've gotten, you know, the majority of things out that we need to discuss. And, you know, if we have to bring it up again, we can. But I want to thank you guys so much for your input and for your information that you've shared with us. Everyone, you know, listen to the show, rewind it so you can get the phone numbers that you need. Guys, anything else you want to add? We got 40 seconds.
Now, you know what? Make sure you come to the website and check out Compass, My Life Compass. Visit British's website, mylifecompass.com/British. Check out my social group, getgoodrelationships.com. And also check out my my coaching website, ShelbyMHillCoaching.com, for a free coaching consultation.
All right. Thank you, guys.
If you're a victim, get help.
Get help. Absolutely.
Yes.
Get
help. Please.
Get support.
Bye, guys. Thanks again.
Thanks, Shelby.
Have a good evening.
Have a good night.
All right. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to NBWEN Talk Radio, the premier radio show for the National Business Women Enterprise Network Incorporated, with your host, Shelley Williams. For program information, call 888-436-2159. That's 888-436-2159. NBWEN Talk Radio, making a difference, ensuring success.